This is week four of Heart Life, and over the last 3 weeks we've been looking at a discipleship tool called Heart Life with the aim of growing as disciples of Jesus. And whilst Heart Life looks at our behaviour, it only does that to look at what's in our hearts to lead us to transformation. And I hope that you've found it interesting, valuable, thought-provoking, and it's something that we will continue to run on with as time goes by. But what I want to do is just do a quick recap for you. We've got quite a lot of guests here this morning, so this was a good move, I think, looking at my notes. So the first week, we looked at the journey of the heart. Okay, so this was us beginning by looking at our hearts, who we are, and what journey we're on. And we noted, didn't we, that actually a great verse we looked at from 2 Peter, that we are partakers of the divine nature, with everything for life and godliness given to us by God already. And we are people with whom he is well pleased. Before we've even done anything, been anything, said anything, created anything, God says to us, like he said to Jesus, "You are my son, in whom I am well pleased." And we need to receive that really into the core of our being, because that's our identity as people with whom God is well pleased. And our journey of discipleship is then in our character, in our behaviour, but it starts from that point of identity. And then we look for transformation, metamorphosis. Do you remember our verse from Romans about being changed from the inside out? A change in our hearts, the beliefs that we have stored in there that affect the way we behave. We allow Holy Spirit, we look to Jesus to allow him to change us, to transform us, and to take us on that discipleship journey. We moved on in week three to look at, no, week two. Yes, week two. Above and below the line. And what we looked at was the origins of our ineffective behaviour. So where we behave in ways that aren't great, in ways that are ineffective, sometimes dysfunctional, where does that come from? And so we looked, didn't we, at the Adam and Eve story, if you remember, and how when they disobeyed God and pride entered their hearts, fear entered their hearts, they began to believe things about God that weren't true. They forgot how loved they were, how much he cared for them. They hid, they felt shame, they were afraid. And as a result, they behaved in ineffective ways. So Adam blamed Eve, Eve blamed the serpent, they hid from God, and so on and so on. And what we looked at was the real importance that what we do is we live from significance as people of God, from the significance of who God has created us to be, people who are loved, people in whom he's pleased, people who he cares for, people who have the divine nature within us. We live from significance. We don't strive for significance, because that's when a lot of our ineffective and dysfunctional behaviours come in. And at this point, we introduced the Heart Life Indicator in its simplest form, which was the four quadrants of behaviour, asking, where is my heart at any given moment? In humility, in pride, in love, or in fear. And that we're going to come back to that today. That's going to be that's the heart life in its simplest form, that we be people who live out of humility and love, where our behavior is effective, rather than people who live out of pride and fear, where our behavior then becomes ineffective. We moved on in week three. This was Andy last week when I wasn't here. He did, why do we do the things that we do? Do you remember the barking dog illustration that he used? How are you going to respond to a situation? The way we respond is dictated by what's stored in our hearts. What belief systems do we have? And therefore, what do we instantly respond out of? So Andy introduced this to you, I think. S plus T equals B. This is not maths. Do not worry. This is situation plus our thinking equals our behaviour. So wherever we have a situation, What's stored within us, the templates that we have, the beliefs, maybe hurts from the past, that will be the thinking, the filter through which we then behave. And in any one situation, two people can behave really differently. So he gave you the barking dog illustration. One person with fear in their hearts, bad experiences, wounds over dogs will be, oh, this is terrifying, what's going to happen to me? And another person for whom dogs are great will be like, yeah, let's play. And that plays out for us constantly. So our situation, our thinking is so important, equals our behaviour. And there's a heart life indicator there for you. So our thinking comes from our heart. And as I've just said, within our thinking we have triggers, we have templates, but we have truths. Truths about God, truths about what we believe, and they are what our behaviour, our thinking flows out of. So there's a heart, that's a pretty good-looking heart. Our thinking comes from what's stirred, it's stored in our hearts. Our hearts can have wounds on the right-hand side, or bits missing, gaps, voids, insecurities. But our heart also can have a lot of gold in it, and that's the gold God's put in it. Our good character, our spirit, operating out of humility and love. Those wounds cause us to feel not good enough, not accepted, and therefore we often respond in fear. On the other side, those bits missing, those voids, a lack of love, lack of self-worth, insecurity, we tend to respond then in situations in pride. So there you have the situation, our thinking so determined by what's stored in our hearts equals our behaviour. And what we're going to be looking at this week, week four, is where do we stand? Where do we stand? So there's another graphic of the four quadrants, humility and love, pride and fear. And what we're going to be looking at is how this applies to the choices that we make in our everyday behaviour. Because if we've got that divine nature in us, we want that to spill out to people around us. We want people to be affected by the goodness of God that's within us, that gold that's in our hearts. And in order for that to happen, it's great for us to respond out of humility and love and not out of pride and fear. So today we're gonna do some interactive stuff. Hope you're ready to talk to one another. I've got four lovely volunteers who are biting their nails, feeling worried about what I'm going to ask them to do. We're going to have an opportunity just to respond to the Holy Spirit at the end of our teaching this morning. So what I just want to do is remind you again of that indicator with the four quadrants. Here it is, and the line is the bit in the middle. And when we say we're going to live above the line, that means we're going to live out of humility and love. We're not going to live below the line, out of pride and fear. We're going to live out of significance. We're not going to strive for significance. We don't have to protect ourselves. We don't have to promote ourselves because we are children of God. So we can be humble. We can be egoless. We can be loving, we can be serving, because we know who we are as children of God. Now what we're going to do is we're going to look at some scripture this morning, and this is a passage quite near the end of Jesus' life. So we've got the disciples have been with Jesus for 3 years. They've been exposed to his teaching, to his presence, just even being with him, and still we see them struggling. So we're to take heart here, guys, because we're not looking for perfection. We're just looking for people whose hearts are after their God. So Roger is going to come. Yay, come on, Roger. And he's going to read some scripture to us, and then together we're going to have a look at it.
Thank you. So Jesus has sent some of the disciples on to Jerusalem to prepare the Passover supper. And then reading from Luke 22, verse 14, Jesus and the others arrived, and at the proper time, they all sat down together at the table. And he said, I've looked forward to this hour with deep longing, anxious to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now, I won't eat it again until what it represents has occurred in the kingdom of God. Then he took a glass of wine, and when he had given thanks for it, he said, "Take this, share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had thanked God for it, he broke it apart, and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Eat it in remembrance of me." After supper, he gave them another glass of wine, saying, "This wine is the token of God's new agreement to save you, an agreement sealed with the blood that I shall pour out to purchase back your souls. For here at this table, sitting among us, is a friend, who is the man that will betray me. I must die. It is part of God's plan, but oh, the horror awaiting the man who betrays me." And then the disciples wondered amongst themselves which of them would ever do such a thing. And they began to argue amongst themselves as to who would have the highest rank in the coming kingdom. Jesus told them, "In this world, the kings and great men order their slaves around. The slaves have no choice but to like it. But amongst you, the one who serves you best will be your leader. Out in the world, the master sits at the table and is served by his servants. But not here. I am your servant. Nevertheless, because you have stood true to me in these terrible days, and because my Father has granted me a kingdom, I here and now grant you the right to eat and drink at my table in that kingdom. And you will sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to have you, to sift you like wheat. But I've pleaded in prayer for you that your faith shall not completely fail. So when you've repented and turned to me again, strengthen and build up the brothers." Simon said, "Lord, I'm ready to go with you to jail. I'll even die for you." But Jesus said, "Peter, let me tell you something. Between now and tomorrow morning, when the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times, declaring you don't even know me."
Thanks, Roger. It's fantastic. So this is a really famous passage. And here we see the contrast between Jesus's above-the-line behavior and the disciples who are still responding with below-the-line behavior. Now, what I want to do is I just want you to get that in your heads. So above-the-line behaviour is our humility and our love, and below-the-line behaviour is pride and fear. And what I'd like us to do is to have a look at this passage. Ooh, that's tiny writing. It's a slightly different version from Roger's, but it is, if you've got Bibles with you, Luke 22, and that's verses 20 to 34. And what I'd like you to do just for a few minutes is just turn to one another in twos and threes or more and see if you can pick out of that some above the line or some below the line behaviour. And then what I'll do is I'll get some feedback from you, so you need to be ready to say something in just a couple of minutes. So if you turn to one another in twos or threes or fours or whatever, this is where you've got to talk to one another, people. Don't worry, it'll be fine. And we'll get some feedback in just a moment or two. I can see lots of muttering going on and people squinting at the screen. So, should we get some feedback? Ah, come on, be brave, people. So, who's found, hands up if you found some above the line or below the line behaviour in there. Excellent, it's all going well so far. Anybody like to give me some below the line behaviour that they can find in that passage? Yeah, who they consider to be the greatest. What would you call that? Pride. Yeah, we've got some pride going on there. And I find this fascinating that they've been with Jesus all this time. This is this really kind of holy moment. And they're still arguing over who's the greatest. And in pride, we could subdivide that a bit, couldn't we? We could say that they've been a bit competitive. Yeah, aren't they? A bit arrogant. Ego. Anything else? Anything else? Above the line or below the line? Yeah, that's fantastic. That's really good. Yeah, Simon, Jesus knew what was going to happen with Simon. Simon was going to betray him, but there's above-the-line behaviour from Jesus. I'm going to pray for you. And what would that be? Love? Humility, actually, isn't it? There's somebody who's going to betray you, yet in humility you're prepared to pray for them. Completely egoless. What else? Brilliant. Absolutely. Behold, the hand of my betrayer is at the table with me. Would you want your betrayer, who's going to give you over to death, at the table with you? You wouldn't, would you? You'd be like, yeah, he's not coming here. We guard our hearts. We wouldn't give ourselves to that person. We wouldn't act in humility and love, would we? We'd be like, I'm going to protect myself. But if we see Jesus, excellent, Jill. Yeah, humility and love. Anything else? Yeah, that's great, isn't it? Yeah, just in that whole situation there, we see Jesus wanting to bring us up to be with him in humility and love. Anything else? Yeah, we see Peter boasting, doesn't he? You can imagine what would be in his heart when Jesus said, you know, you're going to betray me. What can you... Oh, I'm not going to betray you. Pride, yeah? Maybe even a bit of fear, but definitely a bit of seeking approval. Yeah, me? I'm not going to do that. Not humble. If Jesus said something to you, I think I'd probably believe it. Do you? Anything else? Couldn't get much more humility and love than that, could you? Jesus is actually going to lay himself down bodily, physically. Yeah, yeah. Greater love has no man than he lays down his life for his brother. Ian, I saw a vague wave. A vague wave. It's interesting, isn't it? What we strive to get out of our pride and our fear, actually Jesus gives us when we respond in humility and love. It's interesting, isn't it? It's that we're striving for significance, but in fact, if we respond in humility and love, Jesus raises us up anyway. Kind of interesting. Did I have any others? I think you've got them all. I've prayed for you. That was, yeah, we got that one, love and humility. I think what we see in this whole passage, don't we, is Jesus taking these men who he knows are going to betray him in all different ways, and yet he's still laying his life down for him. And I find that really challenging because, you know, we want to respond out of humility and love to people we like and people who are nice to us and people who make us feel good. But actually, Jesus here is showing, actually, live out of humility and love with everybody. With everybody, because then you're being like I am. So if we move on from that, where do we stand? What are our choices in the life that we have? And I was actually with Ash. She can't be here today. I asked her if she'd share this, but she can't be with us. And she actually, that quadrant there, she has that on her phone. And periodically during the day, she just looks at that and reminds herself, actually, I want to be somebody during this day who responds in humility and love and not pride and fear. And I thought that was just really interesting. That we're constantly reminding ourselves to act in ways that are above the line, not below the line. And I was thinking about this, you know, it's not just about being nice to other people. It's not just about the fact that Jesus tells us to be nice, therefore that's why we're doing above the line behavior. It's because when we behave below the line, we're falling short of the glory of God that he's deposited in us. So we said, I used a quote the other week, which was that the glory of God is the radiant display of the divine nature. So he's put the divine nature in us, and his glory is that radiant display. So when we act in ways that are below the line, we fall short of the glory of God. And another way the Bible talks about that is sin. And do you know sin matters to God? It's actually a really horrible thing, so much so that Jesus had to die for it. And even though Jesus has died for it and made the way open for us to be with him, sin is not great. And we are people who have a divine nature. God's whole heart for us is that we are people who live out of who we are. And we're not trapped again by sin. And I just think it's really easy for us because we live in a society where lots of things go. We live in a very free Christian culture where actually we know the blood of Jesus has covered our sin. And it's something that's a bit lighter to us. Do you know what I mean? Do you hear what I'm saying? It's something we don't quite take so seriously because it's all okay, really. It really is all okay. That is what Jesus has done. But God wants us to pay attention to it. He wants us to be people who live in a holy way, who, yes, our mistakes are covered. Obviously, they are covered by the blood of Jesus. But he wants us to be people who display his glory. So I think above the line and below the line behaviour actually really matters. And I don't know about you, but I want to be somebody who brings God glory and pleasure in the way I live day by day. I want to be somebody who lives out of the new nature that I have. And that's our challenge. So below the line, ineffective behaviour doesn't glorify God. It's not who we're created to be. We need to live up higher in above the line behaviour. Now, this is where my volunteers need to get their t-shirts on, or they're looking worried. Now, I have four lovely volunteers here. Come on, people. Chop, chop. There are the large t-shirts, because I didn't, at the time I was ordering them, know who was going to be volunteering. So some of the ladies look a little like they've got dresses on, but we won't worry. Now then, you will see a bit of a theme here. So we've got our four quadrants. Now, I think it would be really handy if Ian was over by Jane and Simon was over by Susan. Susan was over that way, actually, and Simon was there in the middle, so that you can approximately see their people. We've got our four quadrants happening here. We've got love over here. Oh, you're the wrong way around in my head as well, but never mind. Love. We've got humility here. We've got love here. We've got pride here, and we've got fear here. And I would just like to say I am not making comment on the characters of these people at all. So Simon and Susan, would you all like to affirm we love you? We love you, yeah, it's all great, do not worry. Now then, what I'm going to do is I'm going to describe a couple of scenarios, and we're just going to have a little bit of fun here, just illustrating how we could respond out of humility, love, pride or fear. They're all so worried, this is funny. I've told them two, and then if we've got time, I might spring a couple on them. Oh, look at their faces. So, okay, so here's the first scenario, all right? They've all wrestled with this one. Okay, so they're at home, they're in a rush. They are stressed. These people wouldn't get stressed, they're way too cool. However, they're in a huge rush, they've lost their car keys, they are seriously stressed, they're late for an important meeting, they want to get out the door, where are their keys, where are their keys? How are they going to respond? How are they going to ask poor old Jonathan, who's their husband or wife, how are they going to ask him where those keys are? So this is our moment, isn't it? We're under stress. When we're under stress, what comes out of us is what's hidden in our hearts. So how are they going to respond? You're under stress, Ian. How are you going to respond out of humility?
Jonathan, darling. No, I'll have to do it facing Liz. Okay, darling, I've lost my keys again. You know, I have this incredible ability to lose them. I'm pretty sure they're somewhere, and it's my fault. I don't know where they are. I desperately need to be somewhere in the car very shortly, and without the keys, I'm never going to make it. You know, I'm a useless looker. I'm really after your help. Could you please come and help me look for my keys?
Humility personified, I think, there. I love the admission that he's a useless looker. Jane.
You could speak to Prime.
I will do.
Poor Jonathan.
Simon, I know that you love me, and I know we're both really busy, but I've lost my car keys, and I've got to get to school. You're brilliant, Simon, at finding things. I can always rely on you. You're so dependable. In fact, you're absolutely amazing at finding things. You're so good. I know you'll find it for me in 2 minutes. Please, would you look for them for me? I'll be ever so grateful. Thank you so much. And I'll cook you something really lovely later.
Lovely, lovely. Pride.
Jonathan. Have you had my keys again? I put them on that hook in the hallway and they're missing. What have you done with them? Come on, I've got to be out this door now. I'm late already and you mucked it up once again.
Jonathan! Oh, I'm going to be late. I don't know what to do. What shall I do? Can you call them? Call them, you call them, because I can't call them. Oh, that was fantastic. That was brilliant. So you see, we have choices, don't we? Same situation, we have choices. How are we going to respond? Right, second scenario, people, here we go. So you're at work, you were given a project to do, and a client has complained that they haven't received the information that you were going to get to them by deadline. So how are you going to respond to them?
Right. I'm very sorry that I have missed your deadline. I was aware of a deadline, and I really have missed it. Actually, it was a bigger task than I realised, and I've not been able to complete it in time, but I really want to do it and to complete it on time for you, take full responsibility for missing a deadline. Would it be possible to give me a slightly longer period of time, and I will actually come back with the information for you?
Thank you so much for letting me know that I've let you down. I'm ever so sorry. That was not my intention when we started this project. Please, would you forgive me? It's not my normal nature. I hear what you're saying. I hear how angry you are. But I give you my absolute assurance that I will sort this out today for you. In addition to that, if there's anything else I can do to make it easier for you, or I can throw in any additional resources, I'd be happy to do so. But I am really, really sorry, and please forgive me, and I will do my very, very best. You have my absolute word on that.
Oh, you've clearly misunderstood. I have to say, please go back, have a look at your notes. That wasn't what we agreed. It just isn't possible. I would never have agreed to that. It just isn't possible to do what you think needs to be done in the amount of time allotted. So clearly you've got it wrong. I'm on the case, and we'll get back to you just as soon as we can.
I'm on the case.
Right, yeah. Look, line's cracking up. I can't really hear you. So, yeah, okay. All right, yeah, I'll call you back. Bye.
Thank you, guys. Well done. Wasn't that fantastic? I'll let you off from having to improvise. That was absolutely brilliant. And it just, they did so well. And so you see, there's a really practical illustration of how we can respond. We have the choice. We have the choice. So, where are we at after all of that? We are here. In summary, here we are, a person. We are people in whom God has put good hearts. Good hearts, hearts that he's pleased in. We all have a choice when we get in situations. Let's stop. Let's think before we behave. We might need in the thinking to repent, which means to think differently. To renew our minds. Do you remember our transformation scripture? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We might need to think differently before we behave. And parents, it's time to collect your children. Yeah, if you can give me 2 minutes, parents. I'm allowed to do that because I've got the microphone. And it's not quite quarter past according to my watch. So that's our choice, isn't it? To release the good and the gold out of our hearts in every situation just by stopping and thinking, how am I going to behave? So we're just going to wrap this series up now. And you know, you don't have to take Heart Life any further than that, okay? Just that understanding of that, yes, it is quadrant. And how am I going to behave in any given situation? You can begin to use that framework to move forward in your discipleship journey. There may be some here who would like to go a little deeper with Heart Life. And if you would like to, and you would like to do a Heart Life indicator, whereby people who you ask, invite to answer a series of questions on how they experience your behaviour in given circumstances, then you might like to do that. If you would like to do that, and you don't have to at all, then here at the front, I'll have some clipboards here, and you can just sign up with your name and your email to say that's something you'd like to explore, and I can send you a link and chat to you about how to do that and how to process that. But for us now, we can just sit there with that and be challenged, be encouraged, and be inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it may be as we've gone through this that you're aware of some things in your heart. Some of those wounds we talked about, some of those voids that Holy Spirit's brought them to light. And if you are, I just suggest, can I ask that you just go and get some help with that? Why don't you talk to your small group leader? Why don't you talk to a friend? Why don't you go get a sozo? Sozos are fantastic. They are exactly that, looking at what's going on in our hearts and bringing healing through the work of the Holy Spirit. But what I'd just like us to do as well is just corporately respond to that quadrant. And what I'm going to ask you to do in a moment is to stand and to picture yourself on the floor in front of you, actually that quadrant, and to picture where you feel you are today, or to ask Holy Spirit, is there some behaviour that I'm doing that I am aware of is below the line and not above the line? And actually, Holy Spirit, I'm going to stand in that place below the line, but I'm going to take a step, a decision today that I want to live out of the divine nature that's in me, the glory that's in me, and I'm going to cross that line. And we've all got space just to move forward a little bit. It may be even that you feel in your relationship with God that you need to move. Do you know, when I was preparing this, God began to talk to me, the Holy Spirit began to talk to me about how there's pride and fear in my relationship with God. How actually, in my relationship with God, I'm always trying to do things and strive, and that's pride. That's me trying to earn, me trying to do things for his love. Or I'm not quite trusting him. That's fear. And actually, he wants me to step across the line, out of pride and fear, into humility and love. Humility in trusting him, loving him fully. So there's those two things going on. So can I ask you to stand? Andy, we might just scrap the music, I think. I think I might scrap the music. So just picture in front of you, on the floor, those quadrants. And let's just ask Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, is there something you want to bring to my attention? Is there somewhere where I am below the line currently? Maybe in my relationship with you, Lord. Maybe I'm just not trusting you. Perhaps I am striving for significance, not living out of significance that you've given me. So to leave behind the below-the-line behaviour, we just need to cross to humility and love. So why don't you, if you want to, just take that step forward. Across that line, from pride and fear, below the line, into humility and love, above the line. What does it feel like to stand there? It's a good place to be. It's the place that Jesus stood. As we saw, it's the place he lived from. Lord God, we just thank you that you've stored such goodness in our hearts, such goodness out of your divine nature. And Lord, we want to be a people who live displaying your glory and your goodness. So this morning, as we've chosen to step across that line, Lord Jesus, would you take us on with you? Holy Spirit, would you continue to transform us? Would you continue to change our hearts from one degree of glory to the next? Because we love you, Lord, and we are committed to walk with you in this world, showing who you are and living out of humility and love. And thank you, Jesus, that your sacrifice covers every time we don't manage that. In Jesus' name. Amen.